That old black magic has me in its spell. That old black magic that you weave so well. I see fingers up and down my spine. Same old witchcraft when your eyes meet mine. Same old tingle that I feel inside. And then that elevator starts its ride. And down I go. All around I go. Like a leaf that's caught in the tide. I should stay away, but what can I do? I hear your name and I'm aflame. Aflame with such a burning desire that only your kiss can put out the fire. You are the lover I've waited for. You're the mate that fate had me created for. And every time your lips meet mine, baby, down and down I go. All around I go. Under that old black magic called love. I should stay away, but what can I do? I hear your name and I'm aflame. Aflame with such a burning desire that only your kiss could put out the fire. You are the lover that I've waited for. You're the mate that fate had me created for. And every time your lips meet mine, a baby, down and down I go. All around I go. In a spin, crazy about the spin that I'm in. Under that old black magic called love.
Shining like a red rubber ball. live stream some commentary on a Netflix movie?
Hey, how are you? Doing good? What's that?
Yeah, it's been kind of hard.
I understand.
Just prepping a lot for the memorial and trying to write my eulogy for him.
Yep, I hear ya. I'm very sorry. I am very sorry.
Silence.
Let me switch this. That's a switch.
How's the audio? This
good.
Is not the final setup, but we're getting a whole rig for me so I can help with the other podcasts.
Other podcasts? What are you doing?
Are we on live or not?
They can hear us, yeah.
Oh, they can? Okay, yeah. Well, I can't say anything then.
Okay. I got it.
Yeah, but
we'll talk offline. We will talk offline. Let me just look at my volumes here. Check, 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 check. Say a few things.
Hello.
I'm going to take this down.
Hello?
Hang on. Yeah, you. You got a little bit of extra fee going on. Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
Let me just look at this. I don't understand why this is like this. That's better. What happened?
I have no idea. I was just turning on and off mute.
No, that's why. Okay.
Yeah, I probably have some noise. I got a server on the other side of this room that's humming, that I can't quiet down very easily.
It is humming. I can hear it. I can definitely hear it. I just got to check one thing on this before we start here.
Let me see if I can just limit down its like fans. One second. All right, that should be a bit quieter.
Hang on a second. Let me see something here. One more thing I'm checking out here. Open the tracks list. It's much quieter.
Yeah.
Hey, that just worked.
Yeah.
How's it?
Yeah.
No, something else worked.
rate limiting a computer will do it. So, yeah, now the fans don't need to cool off as much.
Oh, okay. I see this. That makes sense. Okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. This is new, so just hang on. How do I look there? Let's see there. Let me see centered. I got to see something else. There's a different track mode here. Yeah.
Yeah. You have all the options. I've got...
Do you see what's going on?
I don't know what you're doing. I'm just... Yeah, I just see your face.
Oh, you don't see anything else happening. Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll do this here like this. Okay. There'll be a countdown. Don't close your computer until we're totally done.
Oh, okay.
Because it's actually recording... Man, my voice is shut.
It records locally.
Yep.
Understood.
We still have the same openings, by the way.
That's fine.
Okay, let me just look here. Here. I want to think through this for 1 second. Okay, save this. All right, guys, we're coming. I know the feed, the live stream is like, what the hell are these guys talking about?
We're using new technology.
New technology. Okay. Share video audio. All right. Here we go. Let's wait 1 second.
You've been listening in on a...
See, that's not right. I'm all screwed up here. We're going to start again.
Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I
flubbed.
Go ahead. Go.
John S. Dvorak.
Yep. Get a little closer to your mic, too. I'm Andrew Horowitz, and we got most of that right, but you know what's going on, everybody, so we're just going to run with it right now and do our best to get through this, which is difficult, much more difficult, of course, for JC, but for me, it's been surreal, to be honest with you, but we're not going to go into that too much tonight because we want to start healing a little bit, I think we should say. A couple things we will mention, though. Specifically about that, this issue is that we're having a meetup in Fort Lauderdale. These meetups, I was talking to Adam yesterday, John, that there's an enormous number of meetups that are happening over the next however long.
Next few weeks, there's dozens and dozens.
Yeah, it's amazing. If you can get closer to your mic, just get kind of, see how close I'm like almost kissing him, my mic right now.
Yeah, let me get right in front without it being in front of the camera.
Yep, there you go. All right, so let's talk about some of the things that are also going on. Some bad news, some good news, some good days, some bad days. I'm talking about the markets right now, and we've had just major flip-flops going on. Pretty interesting going on. I'm walking. By the way, I had the meniscus surgery about a week ago, and was it a week ago?
A little bit over.
It was 2 weeks. It was 2 weeks ago, I guess. Yes. Yep. So it was about 2 weeks ago, and is at a point where I'm actually not on crutches, which is awesome.
You're right.
Yep, that's great. And what's nice about this is that I probably only have another 2 months to go, but hopefully we'll get back on the road. I want to mention
Do you get to use the scooters?
Oh, wouldn't that be great with the leg up and going? Or better yet, I'll go to the grocery store, and I'll be able to...
Yeah, you can do it without feeling
something. Yeah, and I could maybe get...
Like, hey, I need this.
Maybe I can nip somebody in the heels that always nips me, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there is a meetup. There is a No Agenda DH Unplugged meetup happening this coming Saturday, 8-8-2026 at 3:33 p.m. It's going to be at the beach house on Las Olas, which is on the beach. Actually, you look out the doors and you will see the beach right there. So I put some pictures up on Twitter. At Andrew Horowitz is my handle. Your handle, by the way, John?
John S. Dvorak.
See, John S. Dvorak. Nice and easy. And if you want to come, number one, you can go on noagendameetups.com and you can sign up there. Or if you're better for us so we know who's coming, we have a good number of people coming already, is go over to dhunplug.com. Top right, you'll find a little button that says sign up for the meetup, so it's not so difficult to figure it out. Put your name on there, and then we'll send you an email, find out how many people are coming, et cetera. We'll have some really nice things going on that day. It's a great place we're going to be at. Adam is going to, I think, send a video in. We'll have people talking, speaking, reminiscing. It's going to be very nice. So make sure to do that. Markets.
Yeah.
We got Microsoft. We got Apple. We got Amazon. We got Caterpillar. We got Palantir. We got AMD tonight down about 8%. Palantir up about 26%. Wayfair up about 30% today. It's been absolutely like either they love it or they hate it.
Well, Wayfair is sort of one of these things is not like the other.
Yeah.
It's not.
Right.
You go tech company, and the company that sells you furniture.
Yeah. And by the way, I don't know if you know this, but I talked about this recently. Wayfair is going into the physical, they're in the physical store. I think there's one in Michigan right now.
That seems weird. It's like going to an eBay store.
It's weird, right? I know. Do you want to hear my
what?
Oh, you know what? I got a problem.
Or not. We'll hear it in a moment, I guess.
Yeah, but you know what? We're starting this whole show over. We're starting the show over.
All right.
Because with my new technology. Oh, no, maybe not. Hang on. Let me see something.
Do we also have the live stream listening?
Yep, we do. Yeah, the live stream's listening, so they're just going through it. Hang on a second. Hold on a second.
All right, we're going to do it over again.
Maybe not. Let me look at something. This looks really odd.
Hmm.
Yeah, we'll continue. I'm going to continue on. Faked you out. We're continuing. There we go. So let's continue on. Things are good.
Basically, how the rate hikes were working the other year.
The what?
This is how rate hikes felt last year.
It's what it is. Maybe. Well, we could be doing it. Yeah, Wayfair.
Wayfair.
Let's hope nobody from Wayfair is listening. I have a friend that that ordered one of those really expensive chairs. He said, you know, I'm going to get one of those really expensive Herman Miller / Steelcase chairs that are like $1,000, $1,200 for a chair, saying, how good could they be? But you know what? I've been business long enough, he says. I'm going to buy one. He buys one through Wayfair. Wayfair calls, says, hey, by the way, are you in business? He says, yes. Well, we have a special business account. Okay, what does that mean? Well, we can give you a little bit of discount and this and that. Listen, what we're going to do, we're going to put it on the business account, cancel your other order, and we're going to then send you an invoice. We'll send you the chair. And when you get it, because it's a business, you'll pay the invoice. That's what he says to me. Yeah. Oh, interesting. Yeah. Two things happen. One, the chair comes. The invoice never comes.
Well, that's good for him and bad for their receivables.
Yeah, very bad. So pretty interesting. My Wayfair story from a friend.
But how was the chair, though? Was it comfortable?
Very comfortable.
Yes.
That's what he said. Very comfortable, he told me.
Yeah, no. Steelcase actually is a very comfortable chair.
It's unbelievable. It's actually, you know, and you think about it for a second. If you have a chair that lasts you 10 years, seriously, right? It's not that expensive. It's like renting a chair, a comfortable chair that's ergonomically precise for $100 a year. Now, you can't tell me that doesn't make sense.
And it's also the most advanced butt technology there is.
Ah,
it's for tech.
Correctly. And it's air flows through very nicely. You don't get up with that sticky butt syndrome. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. No, it's got a wonderful airflow. The breeze just goes right through.
Right through. Right through all the cracks. So now, we'll end there on that. Let's talk about the market. So Kospi. I wanted to touch on this because a bunch of people wrote me about this. The market, the South Korean stock market, which has been a roller coaster. It's been a gambling paradise. Single stock leveraged ETFs. Terrible.
The paradise, ended in flames.
Flames. But what's interesting is that they're still at it. The stock it was down like 12% last week after we talked. Then I think on Friday it was up 18%.
Yeah, well, you know the adage of a great bad gambler is they'll just make back the losses.
Oh yeah, just give me. I just need to borrow $100.
Yeah. And that's their entire industry. And it's the age demographics of their retail market is a little frightening. They're just trying to. It's like the only option they have to make a ton of money. It's this is the culture that wrote us Squid Games, wasn't it?
Was Korea Squid Games or was that Japan?
Let me double check.
I love that. But I love that. That was a great. It could have been Korea. It definitely seems like Korea.
Yeah, it's Korean. Yeah. It's a Korean. Yep. It's yep. Very. That's people write fiction about the world they're in. And so, yeah, of course they're all going to gamble on the retail markets. Robin Hood should have started over there.
Let's talk about some more AI hacking because this has been brought up time and time again. I'm trying to go also today fast through some of these because we have a lot of things we didn't finish. So we're going to hit the highlights. And AI hacking. More information out tonight, again, on two more out-of-the-network, capture-the-flag style simulations that were going on that they broke out of the geofence or the fenced-in area with OpenAI. So your contention has been, and you continue to be, from our discussions, of the mindset this is all a big ruse just to keep out the outsiders by creating the just needed panic for regulation, right? Is that sum it up?
Yeah, pretty much. It's for that and also to their large marketing campaign goes around the idea that their AI is going to kill us all. So buy now. Don't miss out. Don't miss out on having the evil machine work for you. And they've been saying this since GPT-2.
I would have thought, though, that this would have been the arsenal of the security companies rather than the actual companies themselves.
So it's a different sort of pitch. If you're a security company, you don't want to say there's an impossible to stop threat.
Right.
You want to say we can stop the threat. We can stop the AI evil. What they're saying is it's unstoppable. Don't you want it to work for you?
I mean, I don't know. It seems like an experiment that it seems like a very dangerous experiment.
Yes. Both Dario and Sam Altman have done a lot of dangerous rhetoric. They've both kind of played this game a lot, even though Google is the one who invented Transformers. And on and off again, Meta has very impressive models. They have never played this game at all.
Well,
China, where we've got billions of dollars too, they're not playing the game of this. This is a super dangerous nuclear weapon technology.
Yep. I don't know. It just seems like I get the thesis on this. It seems like that, I don't know, I find it hard to believe that these companies would actually go to these lengths and really. And by the way, hold on. Before you answer that, bear with me one second. Before you answer that, because again, we have this new technology that we're working with tonight and have some recording going on. You're about to give me the answer. I need to step away and take care of something on the camera, and then you're going to continue on. So I'm unplugging my headset. Here we go. Give the answer.
All right. So one of the big, he doesn't want to listen to this. All right. So it's not that much effort for them to do all of this because most of the work they're doing is mostly the marketing side of the house. They already made an oopsie and made a huge mistake earlier when they did these tests and experiments and evaluation sets where they didn't properly contain it, though every other lab on the planet seems to be totally capable of due diligence along the lines of security. So they made a mistake. All the stories that are coming out are all retrospective, and they're all pushed by the marketing department. They keep finding out more systems that the system broke into, more services and more additional details, and oh, look, we also did this by accident, to the point where now you can kind of see Anthropic and OpenAI competing over who got into the most trouble. So essentially, they're competing over who made the most felonies, because that's the new narrative, is that, oh my God, our stuff is so wild and dangerous. Definitely don't look at the fact that you can buy the same level of intelligence for pennies on the dollar by going over at DeepSeek or Quinn or what we have down the pipe coming out of Meta in probably the next few months.
I mean, I don't know. It seems to me that... like I said, I hope it. I really hope this is not well. I hope. By the way, I hope none of this is really going on because either side of this discussion is either evil, or petrifying.
We can go with incompetent incompetence is still an option.
Incompetence is an option?
It's still an option, because if I were to run an evaluation to assess how well it can break into systems, I would want to have control over the systems it's breaking into and not just let it loose on the internet.
Right.
Because otherwise I can't measure it. I don't know how good and secure Hugging Face is. I can't control that as a scientist. I could control it by having it attack my own systems, and that is what we generally do. A lot of companies will use red teaming on their own systems because at least a security team knows what's impressive and not impressive. Because it's sort of like if I challenge people to break into my house, but I leave my back door open, I know it's not very impressive they got in, but somebody else might be like, oh my God, strangers broke into the house. What madness do they have?
Yeah.
He must have great security. It's like, no, my door was unlocked.
I don't know. Let's see how this all goes and how this all plays out. But the bottom line on this is that it's pretty scary. I'm just going to say it's pretty scary.
It is a successful narrative. That is certainly the case. I just want to let you know that when GPT-2 came out, when it was developed, they did not want to release it because Sam Altman wrote that it would be too dangerous to let into the hands of people that might be foreign actors in foreign states. This is GPT-2. At the time, that could not code and it couldn't make any coherent real sentences and all that, but they were so concerned about it that they changed from being an open AI, open lab that was focused on sharing weights and sharing code to being one that was super closed and proprietary. And it was over GPT-2, which was 4 years ago in technology. And they thought that was too dangerous for people. And they have never stopped saying this for every single release they have ever come out with.
Yeah.
So from my perspective, because I've been in it for longer, it's crying wolf.
Yeah.
And I immediately like, I heard this one before.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, we're going to skip over for some things that are right now. We've been talking obviously about AI quite consistently. I want to talk about some other things. Now, Google is coming out with a new way, because this keeps on happening, a new changes for MFA and all sorts of things. And Google said, we want your selfie. Now, so they're going to do facial recognition, which, by the way, now all of a sudden we're getting into people. You know, can you imagine if Google said, if your new account sign on, what we're going to want at this point is your fingerprint. People would be like, what? I'm not giving you my fingerprint. You know, we want your DNA. Oh, you're not getting anything. No. But somehow people are so used to just taking their phone and just putting it up to their face, you know, with their iPhone or whatever, that I think what's happening here is that they're looking at this from the aspect of, okay, well, you know what? How bad could it be here? So and it seems to be a little bit of a, because we don't think that Google's just going to take this. First of all, you have to authenticate it for the first time. That means they need to store your face somewhere. That means that any cameras now that are out there will have facial recognition availability to you if they're running some kind of Google software.
Yeah. And also, this feels like it's kind of late. They should have come out with this before we had deepfakes.
But, well, that's another problem, right? How are you going to do this? This reminds me of like Mission Impossible, where they got, you know, they put the masks on and they look perfectly like the person, or they do something and they take the thumbprint off the wine glass, right?
Yes.
This is the same kind, you know, that's the deep fake thought of all this. So I don't know. But you think this is a good idea? I don't know. Maybe.
I think invasion. Passcodes are fine. I don't know what went wrong with, why can't we put in like six digits? Is that so hard?
I think that the six digit aligned with a text message back to you or some other authenticator app is really pretty good.
I can't think of, that one's so much harder to fake than a face.
Like
faces are easy to fake.
Right. And retinal, that's the other thing, right? That's what some of these things run on. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll have to see how this all plays out. Let's talk about SpaceX. The earnings came out tonight. There was better than expected on a few things, worse than expected on other things. They're still losing a ton of money. XII is losing all sorts of money. The actually, one of the things that came in that was not up to snuff, which was, I think, surprising, and why the stock was down about 7-8% after the market closed, and that was the side of the business that does now I'm having a problem. Starlink. Starlink came up short on subscribers by a couple hundred thousand. So I think that was something that there was some concern about. And then you have the other issue, of course, about the next thing, about everybody's all excited about. This is another stock, a masterful play by Elon Musk to actually go and I would say put the proverbial carrot out front, but with, you know what it is? I'll tell you what it is. It's heaven and hell. You can't really tell sometimes, or, you know, things that people tell you, can you really prove? Or you have alternative truths, or you have things like it's fake news. You're not exactly sure what exactly to believe. You might as well just go with it. So Elon Musk saying we're going to have satellites in space, we're going to do this. By the way, don't look about the fact that a new crater is about to be created on the moon, which,
well,
I'm surprised the conspiracy theorists out there are not talking about how this could throw the moon out of orbit and create a new ice age. I haven't heard that yet. Have you?
Not yet, but I did hear Musk wanting to say when he first peaked at trillionaire, since I think he's beneath trillionaire now.
He is. But you know what? A loser. What a loser.
What a loser. He should have kept it. He wanted to build he wanted to finally build his like volcano evil villain base. And so attacking the moon is very much in line with his James Bond villain allegiances.
Interesting. You know, look at the fact that the moon is so vulnerable in the short distance it is from our satellites. Therefore, that is not a place we want to colonize. We need to go much further.
Yes, we need to go to
Mars. Everything has an answer. But here's the deal. Short sellers reportedly earned about $15.5 billion as SpaceX shares fell. The move rewarded investors betting against the company's valuation. And it shows how quickly enthusiasm can really wane on a lot of this because, you know, people were getting out. The insiders were selling. The lockups were allowed to happen. I thought there was going to be some kind of underlying support at about 135 from the syndicators and the direct, you know, the Goldmans, the Morgan Stanleys, Merrill Lynch's. I thought there would be some. It just flopped. So kind of interesting. Price hit about 108 today before, a couple of days ago before it bounced. I'm calling this the rug pull. So there's that.
I mean, how much of this, though, is like the tale of the credit markets?
Well, are the credit markets leading when the fact that they're basically pricing down the SpaceX debt to junk? I mean, they did a $40 billion deal right off the bat. That's very unusual. That tells me that they were money hungry. And the fact is that there's no end to suckers willing to, you know, part with their money.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's that's most markets in happy times.
Right. So the ease of them picking up $40 billion right after the largest IPO in history, I think, was pretty interesting. And the fact is that those bond guys are, you know, pretty amazing. By the way, I think your fans are back on for your server.
Let me see. I think it's actually this machine now.
That's all right. We got a hot show going.
I'm gonna have to set up a whole proper studio.
Yeah, you're gonna have to encase it with.
It's gonna have to be a separate.
Like a special dome of silence over that stuff.
Yeah, I'll be encased in glass and just have a little bit of a hole. Yeah, for the microphone.
Right, just enough for your mouth to you could just talk and then just put the headsets on. You like the new background, by the way?
Oh, yeah, it's nice. I thought you had chroma key. I didn't realize it's a giant monitor.
Yeah, how great is this? So much better, right? Yeah.
Well, when it first was, you turned it on, I was seeing Netflix, so I thought we were going to start doing like a Mystery Science Theater.
We could. We could do that. Yeah. I started watching just last week for the hell of it because I'm so sick of TV. There's a bunch of channels at the top range of my cable, like way up there, like in the 4,000s.
Is that Chinese news or is that...
I started watching the Virginian, but the first episode of The Incredible Hulk with Bill Bixby.
It's all the old syndicated
old syndicated stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, wow, look at that. What terrible acting. And Lou Ferrigno would get on. Lou Ferrigno, all he does is he rips shirts. So nobody recognized the fact that he's wearing the same pants as David, whatever his name was, in the Hulk.
It works for Superman.
Yeah. Just take off the glasses. No one knew who you are.
Yeah.
And then all Lou Ferrigno does the whole time is go, that's all he does the whole time. Poor guy. That's his part.
It must be crazy to be running one of those channels because you have this catalog. You can buy them all for like pennies.
Pennies.
You'd be like, oh, I can have all of Hogan's Heroes. Amazing. I'll take it.
I would watch that.
Yeah.
All right, TSMC, Taiwan Semiconductor, adds another $100 billion investment in Arizona. Second quarter profit surged about 77%. That was good news from there. AI chip demand continues to drive the expansion and the idea that These projects are strengthening U.S. semiconductor production. So I'm still waiting for the day that we get to the other side of this cycle and watch the free fall. And who knows if we're kind of getting close. AMD just came out with earnings tonight, like I said, down 8% after the close. Why? Well, they basically just met numbers and it was just nothing great. Orders were slowing a little bit. Question was it something going on that's more permanent? Stock has been all over the place, even though we saw another 3% rise in the NASDAQ. Dow Jones Industrial Average up another 600 points today, 1,000 points a couple days ago, even if it was down 700. The war is over, by the way. Oil is great. Scott Bessent says it is. Everything is done. They're going to start moving ships again. And by the way, this is now the 39th or we had the 39th ceasefire. I think this is the 10th agreement of an MOU.
So should we call each of these individually a war, or is this just one war that turns on and off?
Well, I think you talk about one war that was started, but Trump was successful in winning 38.
Sure. I mean, however the score works.
That's how they'll score this. That's how they'll score this. All right, what else we got here? Let's see. Bond yields. This was interesting. Last week, we saw bond yields reach the highest level on the 10-year at about 4.75%, the highest since January of 2025. There's a range that I look at right around 4.2 to 5. That corridor, that level, that area is really important the way I see it, because you start breaking above that 5%, and now the bond vigilantes start coming out. There's a big concern. We're already seeing that the 30-year bond is the highest level it's been in years.
Isn't that box that you're drawing already kind of above historicals?
Yeah, it's, well, no. No, no, historical, recent historicals, not long-term historicals.
Oh, okay.
There were times that, as a matter of fact, my folks, they bought a house at about a 15% interest rate or something like that.
Oh. Wow.
Now, we may think, everybody that's listening that's young and hasn't gone through this thing, what are you talking about? What do you mean 50? That was the rates. And by the way, they afforded it.
At those rates, could you make that much on the stock market in the same year or not?
Probably.
So you could still do the arbitrage.
It's just a lot more risky.
Yeah.
A lot more risky. So what was interesting was we saw the higher energy costs. We saw the shock going on, the Federal Reserve coming out, as we talked about last week, with Fed Chair Warsh, you know, kind of like, hey, we're not going to have a lot of meetings. Let the market do more dirty work. And I don't really care. And just go to hell and let's see what happens. That's kind of what I got out of the whole thing, at least. Maybe I have a weird way of hearing things, but that's kind of what I got out of it. And, you know, but the big thing that I think is the biggest problem is the housing market.
Yeah, but isn't that if anything's being swung by the credit markets, that certainly seems to be.
Yeah, no, the housing market is a problem because for people who don't really understand, and just to state the point, there could be, usually is, a relationship that is equal and opposite, right? So when I say equal, it's equally opposite. You have interest rates go up, housing prices should go down over time. It's not the equivalent of yields on bonds go up, price on bond goes down. We know that is an exact science. What we're talking about here is the fact that demand should go down in theory. People can't afford the same house with the same amount of payment. Houses are bought on, many houses are bought on what's the monthly payment.
Yes.
Whereas cars used to be bought on what's the price. Now it's what's the monthly payment. And I don't care if it's a 5 or 6 year or 7 year car deal. It used to be, wait, we're going to do a 3 year or 4 year, maybe. I'm going to do a 24 month lease. On a car, it was that was on a car. Now you have, you know, homes was the choice was 15 or 30 years, but you kind of, all right, how much do I got to put down? How much do I want to soak into this? And then what's going to be the overall cost? That's kind of the car situation.
Well, and we're seeing in the housing markets, we're seeing this massive breath between like total sellers and total buyers. And that's because the prices are not changing.
Right. You see what's happening in Miami, right?
Yep.
Miami, there's like, I think it's, they do this calculation and they look at what's the, well, if there's one-to-one buyer to seller. It's kind of like, you know, how's it going and all that. And you have these sales going on, and buying and selling is equal. It's a one-to-one relationship. Well, right now we're at 140%, I believe it is. Whereas there's more sellers to buyers, which I'm not exactly sure how they calculate that. Because aren't there a lot of buyers that maybe, how do you count? It's easy to count sellers.
Well, no, you can count buyers. It's closed deals.
You could do that, but there's an, yes, but it isn't like you know the buyers that are lined up behind it.
True.
See, you know how many houses are on the market. That's no question.
Yeah.
What if you got a guy in New York looking at the house in Florida, or somebody in Texas is looking at the Florida house, and they're going through Zillow and just chugging along looking at stuff? Do you count them as a buyer? No.
Well, I think we have to count the buyer at the time they purchase something. Otherwise, you can say stuff like, oh, my $100 avocados have millions of potential buyers. And it's like, no, they don't. No one's going to buy the avocado for $100. Maybe you might sell one.
Right.
And then you have one buyer.
Well, then again, you look at the other side. If you have a seller that's just thinking about selling, we don't count them either, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's only on the. In fact, we really shouldn't be counting them unless they make the sale. But they're not really selling. If they're really selling, they'd lower their price until the market bought it. They're the ones who are the countable, the ones we are listing houses. Those are in fact potential sellers, not actual sellers.
Well, whatever it may be, I think that, it's interesting that we're finding though, that there is a slowdown in the housing market.
Well, it's hard to, for that, it's housing because of how we placed it in our society. It's really hard to ratchet down the prices, because they're not being used like, housing assets. They're used as like financial assets, and a lot of people have attachments to a specific value. So we see this in Beanie Babies. So if you look at the Beanie Baby market and go on eBay and check Beanie Babies, they're still set crazy. They're selling the Beanie Babies for thousands of dollars. No one's buying it at that price. They'll probably buy it 20, but they're attached mentally to these ideas because they're not really operating as like financial businessmen or like thoughtful about the situation.
Right.
They're instead attached to the dream they had when they first bought that Beanie Baby, and they went, oh my God, this is $50. It's going to be worth $1,000 when I sell it. And then when that price never arrives, they just keep waiting. And that's what we're seeing in the housing market.
I know somebody that had that happen to them. I know somebody really well. I got Beanie Babies was it Chicago Cubs? Was it? No, maybe it was in Oakland. I don't know. I was somewhere. Hmm. And it was a game, and they had it was an all-star game. Went to the all-star game. Maybe it was Chicago. And they gave out all-star Beanie Babies. I'm like, hey, every seat got one. So I bought two seats. I had two seats. So I grabbed them, brought them home. I'm like, these people in the as soon as I walked out of the stadium, people said, hey, I want to buy that from you. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
No. How much? Well, $50. $50? make $50. That's pretty easy. I'm like, nah, I'm going to hold on to them. Then they went up to whatever price, whatever price, whatever price, stuck them in the closet, forgot about them. Literally, a dollar. You can buy them for a dollar at this point. So dumb.
And so Miami's also known for the crypto guys. And the crypto guys held on to NFTs well past their due date.
Wait, NFTs aren't a good thing anymore?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Your ape is not worth what it was. you may have lost millions of dollars in your apes.
I remember watching those. What kind of apes were they? There was some funny named apes.
Yeah, something apes. I didn't get too close to them because every time I would talk with these NFT guys, I'd be like, you do know this is just a bubble. And they're like, no, this is the future of assets. And I was like, okay. And then they get upset with me, so it wasn't fun. But yeah, what a moment. But that moment, that's how I think we can think about the sellers of houses right now, like unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, there is a definitive issue that's going on in the housing, but I don't think it's as much as the NFT situation. That was just dumbass.
No. It's not. We're not looking at 100 to 1,000x the value.
Right. Canada gets a 50% tariff. Interesting. Trump imposed a 50% tariff on Canada goods. I think one of the reasons he got pissed off was there was a lot of smoke coming in. And Canadians obviously put up those giant fans, right? They didn't want the.
Yeah. All the smoke went to New York.
They didn't want the smoke from the wildfires on their land. And since the border, if we build a wall, of course, that would solve this.
Very tall wall.
But they turned on their windmills, which we wouldn't have. That's the whole point. But if we did have our windmills, we could have fought back. We could have had a windmill fight.
No. We can't have windmills. Windmills is the evil option.
Ugly.
Trump. Our president, Don Quixote, is right about this anti-windmill stance he has.
The windmills are so funny. I find that a funny thing. But anyway, Trump put out a 50% tariff on goods, on some goods, from Canada. Canada's still not supplying. I have Canadian friends. They go up to Canada. They literally cannot have any bourbon or whiskey or alcohol from the U.S. Unavailable on Canadian shelves by choice of the Canadian government, by the way.
Yeah. Meanwhile, we're not getting, I guess, maple syrup and what's, I mean, they,
Carnazzol, maybe, some fish.
Poutine.
Is poutine from Canada?
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought it was from New Orleans.
You're going to get a bunch of emails now.
Oh, I pissed off the people from New Orleans and the Canadians.
No, so remember, the Cajuns and the Canadians are historically the same group. They split up, We just have some Canadians. We just kept the cool ones.
So the cool Canadians are the Cajuns.
The Cajuns, yeah.
So they kind of took Canadians and they turned that word into Cajuns.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, I gotcha. From New Orleans. All right, Delta says higher fares are sticking. Delta expects higher airfares to continue. Strong pricing helped it reach a level that they expected and reaching their 2026 profit goals. Higher fares provide protection against fuel and labor costs for them. Yeah. For them.
Well, and also all their debt on all their airplanes.
Yeah, well, they need, obviously, this kind of numbers. They were really concerned for a little while with the high price of gas. What I find fascinating with the travel companies, in particular the cruise lines and the airlines, they have a knack. Now, sometimes we have a situation like Spirit and other Eastern Airlines, and Eastern may have been a little bit before your time, but we have Pan Am. You have a situation where hard times come and it somehow just nails one company.
Well, it's also funny. Are you familiar with the fact that they used to maintain options and futures trades for all their fuel, and then they stopped literally a year before all of this began?
Yeah, some companies still do that. They still have departments that do that. Yeah. But others don't. Yeah, I agree.
Seems like they're an industry that should definitely hedge on that because it is existential.
Yeah, exactly. And so what's happening now is somehow they come out smelling like a rose. This happened with the car companies, by the way. They're about to go bankrupt. These are significantly important businesses. The government will bail them out. The government bailed out the cruise companies. You thought Carnival Cruise Lines was like done. And then they roar back. Look at Royal Caribbean. Their stock is down a little bit now, but RCL, that stock has done unbelievable. I mean, unbelievable. I remember somebody was talking to me and said, you know, client, can you buy me 50 shares of Royal Caribbean? I said, well, why is that? It's really not looking so good right now. What are you thinking? Well, if I buy the shares of Royal Caribbean, I get all these discounts on cruises. I'm like, okay. You know what? What's the worst that can happen? You lose a few thousand dollars, but you're going to gain all these discounts on the cruises. Can I tell you something? She has made more money on that. She could buy cruise after cruise on what she did with that deal.
Well, we should also see, air flights have a funny elasticity because they bounce back based on economic cycles. So when it's a tough times and the middle class can't afford vacations, they essentially start saving up and they go on a whole bonanza of flights as soon as they can. Because that's what we saw each time that we got out of recessions. So, yeah, flights are probably going to be an interesting industry in another year or so.
Yeah, Royal Caribbean is up 246% in the past 5 years. Year to date, it's up 42%. 1 year, it's flat, well, up about 10%. It had that little bit of a hiccup when the prices came up on fuel. So that freaked out everybody.
Yeah.
And people sold the stock at that point. My voice is just not good tonight. All right, let's talk about the two things about this. The great egg recall.
Yeah, the chickens need to stop eating salad.
You got to stop eating salad and eggs?
No, I'm saying the chickens, they were eating the salad.
Oh, and they got worried about
the Chipotle.
They were worried about the Yum Taco Bell thing.
Yeah.
Ah. Mm. 1.6 million dozen eggs. 1.6 million dozen. That's a lot of eggs. Were recalled over possible salmonella. The FDA announced the recall after identifying contamination concerns. Now, I don't know what the political angle is going to be on this, but I could tell you that egg prices have actually come down pretty nicely. They were about $3.50 last year for a dozen. They're $1.60 now.
Well, now I feel so cheap after COVID. COVID had such a high egg price. Now these days we're feeling like we're on the lands of milk.
Everybody's freaking out about that one thing, right? Nobody's like, oh, I'm going to die from COVID. $8 eggs. It's the end of the world. That was like, that was worse.
So to put numbers in perspective, what was the number that's recalled?
1.6 million dozen.
So right now, America eats 250 million eggs per day. So it's
per day.
Let's just do them per day. So 250 divided
poor
by
chickens.
12.
Poor chickens.
What's that? What is that? 20 million dozen are eaten every day. So that's 1/20th of the of one day's egg consumption.
Not a big deal. Not a big deal.
But they're going to use it as an excuse to raise prices.
Yeah. And too many eggs. Let's just get that in there.
No, there's not too many eggs yet.
I also read some reports today, speaking about food, on the prices of a lot of food and the scarcity / overabundance of other vegetables, meats, and things of that nature. A lot of problems in the green area. Asparagus, avocados, broccolis, meats. Beef prices are moderating. Beef prices are really, really expensive.
Yeah, lamb though.
No, lamb's cheap. What's going on there? How do you know that?
Wildly cheap right now. You get fantastic lamb for nothing.
How did you know that?
It's cheaper than chicken.
Wait a second. Time out. How do you know that?
Because we had to go shopping.
Oh.
So I usually get like the organic chicken, and right now lamb's cheaper. Organic lamb, and I'm like, well, red meat's winning today.
You know what's interesting? Shrimp is coming down in price too. Shrimp and butter.
Oh.
Shrimp and butter. You make shrimp scampi all day long now. Alongside your lamb kebab.
If you know how to cook, it's a fun market.
It is.
But beef prices are down. Think about the vegetable prices. The reason why not beef prices. The beef prices are down from last year.
Yeah, but they're slightly lower. Not a big deal.
No, they're not low enough. That's true. But that's because we're still. It takes a long time for to recover the herd, and so we did massive callbacks in COVID, and we're still paying off the losses there. You can't just be like, hey, we're just gonna breed cattle, and just have slaughter. We're still slaughtering at the same rate, so it has to grow slowly.
Slowly.
And then the vegetable prices are almost entirely labor costs.
Yeah, well, there's that. There's tariffs in certain areas, particularly for avocados, and there's planting issues. No, there's planting issues from lack of urea and other different fertilizers that come through the Straits of Hormuz. Right. There's a big problem there. We also had an issue with Florida in the beginning of the year with the cold snap. There's like all sorts of things that just are lining up very poorly. All right, let's keep moving. Human skin entered the K-beauty market. We're talking about Korea, of course. Check this out. Injectable skin boosters. This is something I think you mentioned to me offline that you were thinking about doing.
No, I was not planning to put any cadavers into my skin. But given the prices, no wonder they're gambling on the markets over in Korea. They're going with a very expensive, the price point on those is like $20,000 for the treatment. Because it's, and then on top of it, it's a gray market, so it's not fully vetted. I tried looking into research to show whether or not the scaffolding even works, and I couldn't really find anything. But it does remind me of the trend we developed in LA, which was the buccal fat removal, where that was a big trend. And one guy invented it. He also invented buccal fat replenishing the same day. So I feel like the same thing's going to happen. We're going to have another sort of cyclical surgery process that Korea ends up doing, which is not only are we going to add a bunch of more structure to your face by injecting this stuff, but then they're going to also start doing trimming again.
How do I look? You know, you got this face, you can't talk, you got the big lips that are just smacking against each other when they're... Yeah, but that's Korea. They're into, you know, the I don't know if you've been to that part of the world and all that. They do some funny things over there.
Yes. Well, they also have like a legal system now where you can sue a woman if she's misrepresents her face.
Yeah, that's there.
Yeah, so there's a...
There's a profession you want to be in as a lawyer.
Over there. Yeah, so they had a case just about 10 years back, which was a man had these children with his wife, and they all had this really crazy pulled back. They had a huge overbite, massive overbite. Chins were way receded. And he sued his wife for false advertising and for fraud.
Wow.
And it ended up, he won. He won that case. And so in their precedents, in their legal system, women actually have to show pre-op photos if there's any prenups or anything like that going on.
Let me go through some of the earnings we have. Amazon, quarter two results released Thursday evening. AWS revenue is $42.2 billion, up 37% for the year. Stock gained about 15% on Friday. This was a huge move. Put it over the $3 trillion club. By the way, fast forward just a day, and our good friend Jeff Bezos, and I think congratulations to you, sir, did a sale of $4 billion. So he's taking out some money from that stock. People are probably like, oh my God, he's selling. Psh, what are you kidding? That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Should have done that. The key takeaway for investors was that obviously the AI cloud demand accelerated enough to outweigh concerns about the higher capital spending, because every one of these companies I'm going to mention had enormous, ginormous, giganormous CapEx spending going on. Amazon, again, on Monday, continued its ascent higher over the $3 trillion mark. So reinforced the market's idea that AI infrastructure demand remains solid. Plus, the nice thing about Amazon is it has other businesses.
Yes, it has it's wildly diversified. AWS, I believe, is close to half of their revenue, but they have a lot of other things.
Yep. Apple fiscal Q3 revenue was $109 billion. So, just to be clear, Amazon 42.5, Apple was 109. EPS was about $2 per share. iPhone revenue reached $54 billion, which is big. September quarter, the revenue growth guidance was about 9 to 11%. Disappointed people warned that the company warned that the unusually high cost of memory chips could pressure margins. Stock fell about 7% on Friday. Meanwhile, market was off to the races on the rest of the stuff. Microsoft came out. Fiscal Q4 revenue was $90 billion. Adjusted EPS was 4.74. Azure growth was 43%. Again, very good. Cloud revenue was $59 billion. Fiscal Q1 revenue guidance was approximately $90 billion. Shares rallied. The best move on Microsoft since way back, I think, in October 2008.
That's because they delayed forcing everybody onto Windows 11.
Is that going to be a thing? How is that going to work? They keep doing that. That it's going to be just an event that never happens.
They did it last time. So last time they did that was for, I believe, Windows 7, I think.
It would cost them more in service calls.
Yes.
To deal with this.
Well, they have to support multiple operating systems until they can finally get people off. But the reason why they're not moving is because they don't want all the ads. They don't want all of this new invasive upsell systems that are being added. And Windows 12 promises only more of that. So, and it's their revenue driver now. They make more money off of that than selling an operating system.
So, you know, what's interesting about this whole situation with doing this, probably not to have service calls. Over the weekend, I was doing some work and I was logging into my Salesforce and it was fine. And then I did something. I had to restart the computer because I was setting up this new system. And I restarted and I went into Salesforce and said, oh, thank you. You have a new requirement. And it was on a new computer, by the way. So it didn't really bother me. You have a new requirement that you need to use a passkey. This is like a new thing, this passkey bullshit. Oh, it's so annoying, the passkey thing.